Good evening. Welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Matt and I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 8 and 9. Please welcome our panel this evening. This is Mike and Harmony. I'll read the first paragraph on page 76, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. 76, here we go. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol.
I'm Harmony, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I want to welcome you if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, this is really scary. If you're like me, the prospect of taking responsibility is scary. And especially for if it may be to someone that you don't like or that you've done something to. For I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief when I used to drink. And actually, I can be that way sober. Can't even just blame alcohol. And so to have to look those people in the eye when I'm doing those kind of things, that did not seem like it would be a rewarding process. It's very normal for it to completely fill you with fear. And what this paragraph is talking about, I can barely read it because I'm using Grant's book and he highlights and underlines every line. So it's like really hard to tell what it actually says here. But it's really hard to, it's explaining to us why we have to do this. And my best experience of this is that, first of all, I don't think I would have been able to stay sober or stay in AA if I hadn't done the ninth step. I also don't think I would have had the same type of spiritual experience that I have had I think the eighth and ninth step were probably some of the most profound experiences that I've had in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's what really changed me, was having to go to people and take responsibility for the things that I had done face-to-face or pay back things that I had stolen. And my father was an alcoholic, and he kind of did a 12-step thing through his church with and through this 12-step thing, number one, they could still drink, and number two, they didn't have to apologize to the person, they were forgiven by God, which is great, I mean, if that works for you. But what my observation for my dad is that he might have gotten some things out of the inventory, and he might have gotten some information about his defects through a 6 and 7 type step, but he did not get the humility and the complete life changing. For me, it was humility. It was a really strong desire to be different. A sense of gratitude for that I was sober and that I wasn't going to do these things to people anymore. And my observation of my dad was that he didn't get any of those things by skipping this vital step.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. First sentence in this thing says, now we need more action. And I did not want any more action at all. I busted out of 4 and 5. You know how we are. We feel really good. And I think I've done this twice with my first sponsor, my second sponsor. And the first time I did what I think some of us do from talking to other people. I went home for that hour and jumped around and was all excited and, you know, oh, I did it. But then when it says entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, I don't think I did that right. And if you're not, and it says all defects of character, you better have that in order before you start making these amends. Because you will find yourself in a spot where you're like, oh, I'm scared to death, or I still don't like you. You know, I don't know what we're doing here. Because this is what you get to do now. This is the fun stuff. You get to go sit in front of somebody that you might not like, that might not like you, that you really might love a lot, that you really, really hurt, and you don't get to say sorry. You have to say, I was wrong. That's tough. And you really, really have to do that and be sure you're spiritually fit to do that. Then you might get to listen to them tell you what they think of you because, you know, you forgot or, you know, you hazed over some stuff, and you really just have to sit there sometimes and bite your lip and take it. Then you get to say, what can I do to fix this or make this right? Then if they say you have to do something, you get to go do it. Man, your character defects better be all set aside, because you've got a lot of work to do. It says action. It also says faith without works is dead. This is the faith part, I think, now is I have a knowledge now and a relationship with God that I better use, you know, and I've got to trust him or whoever, believe in him. I'm going to keep saying him, but I don't mean anything by that. But I've got to, what I've learned earlier, when I turned my will and my life over to the care of God, I've got to trust that. I've got to believe that the whole way. And like I said, give up all these character defects to him. So I'm sure when I'm doing these amends, I'm in the right spot. And then it says, if I don't have the will to do this, ask until it comes. Keep asking. That's going to come up later in my story with this of being willing and continuing to ask. So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. All right. The next reading is also on page 76. We go on with probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. We lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries.
So, like I was talking about, I grew up really religious, and the last approach that I needed to take, especially with my family members, was anything along the lines of that I had found God in a spiritual answer to my problem. First of all, that it was very easy to talk a good game, and I learned how to talk the spiritual lingo from very early on. And I learned how to make the, I remember being 15, 16, 17 years old and feigning, pretending to have emotional upheavals that would that I was changed, touched by God, whatever I had to do to get the heat off. That is what I did. And so, I had been running that scam from very early on. And this is about a genuine amends. And I also, as I'm very much like Bill, like I am a salesman, and I like to sell. And so what I want to do is sell AA, which again is not the purpose of the amends. You know, the amends is for me to clean up my side of the street and try to repair some damage with some people that I have harmed. And for me, there were, I went through my list with my sponsor, and I went through and determined exactly how each person should be approached. And some of the times, it's not that there's anything wrong whatsoever with the spirituality of this program and that I found God here and that God cured me of my alcoholism. It's just some of the times it's like coming to people like that is like Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door. Like, you're only going to get one response to that, and it's better to just not arouse that type of prejudice. And some of those people in my amends process, and even some of the interactions that I've had one-on-one, I have been able to venture into the spiritual side of, into my spiritual life and into my relationship with God on a very personal basis, but I didn't lead with that. And that's all they're talking about. That's all I have to share on that.
I do not have a very strong religious background from when I was a kid. I thought I did, but that wasn't what it was. I'm the oldest of four boys, and we're all big boys, and we were all rowdy and crazy. And this church bus used to go through our neighborhood, right? And on Sunday it would honk, and my mom and dad would send all four of us out there, and I thought we were really religious. I didn't know they just needed time to do whatever moms and dads do when four boys aren't there, you know, probably take a nap, I don't know, but I thought we were really church-going people, and all I remember is, you know, if you're a good boy, you're going to heaven, bad boy, you're going to hell, and I carried that forever. I carried that, like, all the way through adulthood, so religion and God and any of that was off the plate, you know, from whenever. When I first got, the first day I went to rehab, they were on, they were just getting into We Agnostics. We finished the chapter before that and we started that. And as soon as they got into that, you know, I'm 45 years old, I'm the second oldest guy in the place with like 40 people. And I go right to the cool kids who say, this is all about God, they're going to start hitting you up on this, da 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 da. And day two, I was done. You know, I was like, I had my out. That was my out. I'm not listening anymore. You know, this isn't going to happen. But now, after some time, I realized when I got to this part of the book that it says our real purpose is to fit ourselves in to be of maximum service to God. It's not about me anymore. You know, I've passed that. When I'm on step 8 and 9, this is not about me. I've got to go clean up some stuff. You know, I don't have any more self-will, or I shouldn't. if I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go make these amends straight up on God's will. I'm going to ask God for some help. I'm going to ask for some guidance, and I'm not going to go, like Harmony said, I'm not going to go announce that to somebody, but I know in here and coming at, you know, to me, my side, cleaning up my side of the street is what I'm, that's what I'm banking on is I'm spiritually fit. It's not mine anymore. It's God's. I turned it over. Here's what I'm going to say, you know, and I'm just trying, it says, somebody still smarts from our injustice to him. I'm just going to try to restore a little bit of justice the best way I can. And the best way I can is, you know, relying on that higher power. So thanks.
Thanks. Our next reading is on page 77. Please don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
One of my favorite lines in the big book is that his somewhere else, and it says his whole deportment shouted that he was a man with a real answer. And to me, I feel like that is how AA presents itself in me, is that when I saw people that knew me as a drinker, or I have seen people after I've gone through different processes and the steps, and they can see the change in me, they can hear the change in me without me having to announce it to them. And in those conversations, what happens is that, you know, like people want to know what happened to you. You know, like I can see that you're different. Even just most recently, I went through the steps in the last year, and people out of town, my family members, they have all commented that that my demeanor has changed. And so the answer to that question is God and AA. I did not do it. I do put some work into this program, but I can tell you, especially if you're new, that if you go through this process, that these things will happen to you, and miracles will happen, things that I could never even believe would happen. And I get power over my defects and the problems in my life that I, with all of the power, like everything that I try to muster, I cannot fix these things and I cannot make any improvements on them. But through God and AA and the process of the steps, those things get better. And I definitely am one of those that has a really hard time making amends to people I don't like. And I have to pray on it a long time because I have the E-S-H-I-T on my face is what it'll look like. And so I have to be in a genuine, humble spot to make amends. And I remember one time there was an old timer in my old home group that I mouthed off to, basically. Like, she said something like a little bit condescending that I probably was oversensitive to, and I just really mouthed off to her. And then, you know, I had to go and make amends for my smart mouth and the things that I said. And then I had to sit there and listen to the then lecture of like, just wait until you have 20 years of sobriety and blah, 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 blah. And the whole time, you know, like try to not get the FU look on my face. And I could tell you what happens to me in all of those situations and all of those amends that I made that were very, like, that I actually did not even believe in the amends that I was making. It doesn't matter. In the end, I end up with the same result of humility and remorse for how I am, and a desire to be a better person, a gratitude to God that I have been given grace and that I have been given all of the things in my life, because despite my best efforts, I don't deserve good things for some of the crap that I pull. I really don't. And so to look other people in the eyes and have that true connection with them for the over my humanity and the mistakes that I make, that it's that payoff is worth setting my ego aside and humbling myself before someone I don't like.
It says here the question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. And that question, this paragraph means ask a sponsor, because I don't know what to do. And I will tell this on my first time doing this, like I said, when I did my fourth and fifth step the first time with my first sponsor, I tried to make myself look worse than I was, which didn't make any sense. You know, it was bad enough. He knew the lie. As soon as I started telling the lies in my fifth step, he knew. He'd just stop and look at me, and I'd feel bad, and I'd start sweating. And he's like, dude, just tell me the truth. Let's just get it straight. And then, of course, we went to six, where I already told you, entirely ready to remove all the defects of character. I didn't do that. So I'm not ready, really ready, to do these amends yet. And he's guiding me, he's, you know, telling me what to do, and I ignored all of that, and I went for the big dog first. I went for ex-wife. You know, I'm going first, I'm going to her. So that was my first attempt at an amend. If I can get this out of the way, the rest of them are just gonna roll. So first big mistake is your sponsor doesn't go with you. So I had no, like, I would, where are you? Help me. I did do part of what he said on the way there. I prayed she wouldn't show up. I prayed she would forget what time. I prayed my heart out. I called him twice. I said, do I really have to go in there? And he said, dude, you made this appointment. You know more than me. Let's go out and get it done. So we were at a public place, and we went in, and I was all over the place. I couldn't look at her. I have a feeling I said sorry 400 times, which, you know, it wasn't the purpose. She got into asking me, you know, it got a little, were you cheating on me, blah, blah, you know, all the stuff that I'm not even prepared to answer, that should never, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. And then I did what I always did. I walked out without paying. So that was great. I did go back in and pay, but, you know, when you're doing this, you have a sponsor for a reason, you know, and they do know, they've been through this, they do know more than, well, mine knew more than I did, but he did let me fall on my face, you know, and that's okay too. I learned a lot from that first one. I learned I wasn't ready. I learned for some of these I wasn't willing. I learned that I needed to go back and do that sixth and seventh step with again, not on Mike's time and not with Mike, but letting it go to God, you know, because I sure wasn't ready. It was a mess, but I came out alive, and I redid it another time, and it was okay. I did better. Not, you know, that's always going to be a tough one, but I will just say you have a sponsor for a reason. Thanks.
Page 77, we'll continue the reading. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
So, this is about having a spiritual restitution and a spiritual cleansing, I guess. First and foremost, to genuinely make set right wrongs with other people that may have hurts or harms or damage caused by the things that I've done. Especially, you know, like I was such a liar, and then I had such a mouth on me, and I was the queen of deflection. Like I would always like try and make you feel like you were the cause of my problems. And like, so to go to people and take responsibility and say that, you know, no, you are actually not the cause. Like I was not a well person, and I should not have treated you that way. And everything that I said was actually BS. And to relieve people of those type of things that I had placed on them for years. I mean, my parents, my family, like my prom date, I literally had to, I saw him when I was in my hometown. He was walking along the side of the road, and I literally pulled the car over and said, he was on my list of if I ran into him when I was in Minnesota, that I was going to make amends to him. And I literally made amends on the side of the road, like you did great. Like, you know, we went to dinner, it was all fine. I had one problem, and that's that I wanted to drink that night, and it wasn't happening fast enough, and I'm sorry, I was an a-hole. I'm really, really sorry. It had absolutely nothing to do with you. It was perfect in every way. And so for me to clean all of those things up and to give people back what I had stolen from them, whether it was emotional or money or whatever it was. And you know, like I said, I am one of those, I do have a mouth on me, and I really like I can feel my blood start to rise. Like it starts to get hot in my throat and my ears when people start to lay into me, because I'm just going to mouth off, and I have all sorts of like retaliatory things that I can just deflect back at you. And so those type of situations in amends were hard for me. Like it was especially the first couple of rounds of amends, of like having to take the beating of what people were going to say about me, and what, you know, what type, like it felt like criticism, but to actually sit there and listen to it without any retaliation was difficult. But it's a, you know, it is a practice, and I find myself, I have to practice it even day. I have a really, really strained relations with my kid's dad. And I need that tool more now than I ever have. And there's days where I was like, am I even sober? Because I just being in the same room, I have to make amends to him, you know? And I was like, how? And it's a daily practice. Stop laughing. It's a daily practice. It's true. I was like, I'm sorry. I think I had an eat crap look on my face yesterday. Anyway, I have to practice these things at all times. And I, like they said in this chapter, I've had some really, really profound experiences. Forgiveness from people I should not have had forgiveness from. And then just unexpected results. This last time I went through the steps, I made amends to my brother. And essentially the gist of my amends was to stop being so miserable. Like I stopped telling him about any of my problems. And my answer to him was always, I'm good. It's good now. I'm good. It's okay, Jake. It's taken care of. No worries. You know, let's go have some fun. And that has been my amends. He had a special request that he wanted me to do out of that amends. And since he said that, and that's what I have done. And I have a relationship with him now that it's like nothing. It's everything that I always wanted and tried to push for and never got out of him for 20 years of sobriety. You know, in fact, the more I pushed for a better relationship with him and for the worse it got. And now suddenly after this this amends, where like to me it wasn't even that emotional or heartfelt, no feelings were even really discussed, you know, it still was a really, really profound experience, and these results that I could never have gotten on my own. And those are the type of things that happen when God's involved and we get ourselves out of the way. That's all I have to share on that.
Grant really does have a lot of stuff highlighted. I might check this out. This chapter, at the beginning, it says, under no conditions do we criticize such a person or argue. You know, this is, I'm not going there to do further harm. You know, I did that. And some of this is hard, and I'm going to have to hear some stuff I might not want to hear, and I'm going to have to do some things I might not want to do. But in the beginning of this chapter, it said I would go to any lengths. And so that's what I have to do. It's just not about me anymore. When I do those things, the guilt goes away. Some of that guilt is washed away. It also says in here, sometimes a man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. I wanted that to happen every single time. And one time, my sponsor said this sentence to me. He said, pray, don't predict. I was going to Nag's Head for a week with my family, and one of my brothers was going, and his kids, and my mom and dad. And I made the decision that over that week sometime, I was going to make amends to my mom and dad. And I kept calling my sponsor and going, this is what's going to happen. You know, this is going to be terrible. My brother's kids are going to do this. My mom's going to do this. You know, my dad's going to do so much. And he goes, why don't you just not go? And I go, what are you talking about? It's a family vacation, and I'm going to make these amends. He goes, well, you already know what's going to happen. You know, just in a week, just see what happens. You know, come back, you know. So I had to pray and not predict what was going to happen, because what happened was totally not even close. And I made the amends to my dad, and this big tough Navy man, Ford plant man, is blubbering, crying, telling me how much he loves me, and you know, and I'm saying, what can I do to make this right? And he goes, just be happy. That's his answer, you know. And then my mom sits me down and chews me out for 45 minutes, you know. She's like, no, because I said, you know, what can I do to make, you know, I did my dad, so I'm feeling good, you know, mom's going to be easy. And she goes, no, sit down. What were you thinking? You know, and blah, blah, blah. What did you do to your kid? And I'm like, Mom, this isn't, it was about to come out of my mouth. Like, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing, you know, but I just heard it. I heard it up here, and I just let her have it, and she had it. And again, it got to the part at the end, she goes, you know, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. Let's keep doing this. But I had to get the chewing out, you know. So just, you're not going to like all of this. You're not supposed to. You hurt these people. You did them wrong. So like I just said, don't predict. Just pray. Let God take over. Say your piece. Say your part. And sit back. And, you know, you're going to live through it. And the guilt will go away. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, next reading is page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people no, we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
So I did a lot of stealing when I was out there. And like I was on the swim team and I pocketed car wash money. I was like, I'll take care of the till. And pocketed the car wash money, and I knew all the prices at the Dairy Queen I worked at, and I would pocket that money and tell the people the price, and then like pocket it, and returned stuff I didn't buy at JCPenney's, and I had a lot of financial amends to make, and I had no money. I was really poor for a lot of my early sobriety. I didn't have a car for 4 years. I lived in a one-room apartment in Los Angeles, and all of my finances went towards school, food, and rent, and that's basically what I had. And I worked a lot. My sponsor and I made the list of all the financial amends of all, like, everything from, like, you know, like Claire's. I would just go in there and like put I would Jackie's laughing. I put all these like earrings and necklaces and hair scrunchies in my jacket and stuff, and just like it was all pointless. But here I was poor and had to go pay back for these like dumb things that I bought. And so my sponsor and I made all of the, or stole, excuse me, I made a list of all of these things, and I had to go back. I had to literally go like buy a plane ticket, go back to Minnesota, and I had to make a bunch of these like piddly amends, which were, you know, $50 here. I think it was about $50 that I had to give the Claire's manager. And on one of these amends, I walked into JCPenney's and I said, you know, I need to speak to my manager, the manager of Bed and Bath. And and they're like, oh, well, all the managers that are in there, they're having a meeting. And so basically, I basically went in there and they're like, hey, what can we do for you? I'm like, I used to work here and I stole from you all and I need to pay you back. And they're all like sitting there. They're just like, I can't, like, all I knew was that I had one chance to get these things done while I was in Minnesota, and I wanted them all done. I wanted to be able to go back and like have these things crossed off of my list. My motive was not all like spiritual benefits, you know. It was like I wanted to start spending the money on myself and stop giving it back to the people whose money it actually was. And the benefits of all of that is that I have the ability and have had the ability for a lot of my sobriety to be honest about what it is that I can and cannot afford, and to lay those things out for people and for creditors, and to make, like, one of the temptations of doing financial amends is it's really attractive to be able to come in with this big lump sum, you know, 500, you know, bam, I'm a baller. Like, see how much better I am? Like, it's a lot harder to make like very minuscule credit arrangements. And some of mine were like $10 a month. And it's almost humiliating to like hand over $10 a month of like, this is all that I can afford. And that type of humility enables me to, you know, like try to live within like within my financial means and pay back what I actually can do, and not try to feed my ego in the amends process. That's all I have to share.
I don't share about this part much because it really hurt, because I really thought I didn't owe anybody any money. I was the alcoholic that, you know, paid his bills with credit cards, and we had like 10 of them, and we'd lay them out, and we'd pay our bills, my wife and I, but we always paid those bills, you know, so I was like, I'm good. I would, you know, send the electric bill without signing my name on the check, and they'd send it back. That just bought you a couple extra days, but I always paid that bill, right? I paid it. Then, whenever we got in trouble, my brother that's younger than me is a big money guy. And I would always call him and ask him for money. And he would make me read little self-help money books, right? Before he'd give me the money. I read the books. He'd ask me questions because I wanted him to keep giving me money. So I'd read the books, I'd answer his questions, he'd give me the money, and I'd pay him back the money. So when I got sober, I didn't know anybody anything. A year and a half into this, I'm sitting at school at my desk, and I break into this sweat and anxiety attack of, I called my sponsor and told him how much money I stole from this, you'll be able to figure it out when I say it, but I blocked it out. Every month I would go to this place, and I'd have an apron, right? And I'd sell certain things for cash. It was bingo, right? And I'd sell the tickets for cash. And every couple hundred, I'd put in my pants instead of the apron. And, you know, it wasn't enough to pay a mortgage. I did it for 2 years, though. It wasn't enough to pay for a mortgage, you know, and it didn't seem like a lot. But, you know, Harmony said when you pay back a little bit, it adds up. Well, when you steal a little bit, it adds up. It was a lot of money, really. I could have went to jail. I could have lost my teaching life. I could have lost every, and I didn't even think, when I was doing it, I never thought about it. I'd go to the car, pull out whatever money I had in my pants, and we had a good month. And I called him, and I'm freaking out at school. And he goes, dude, you just got to relax. Just calm down. So we got together, and he said, you know, here's what we're going to do. And we wrote this letter. And then monthly, I would send cash. You know, I didn't sign my name on it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It was something that was, I could have seriously went to jail for. But I did say, you know, I took some money from you. Here's how much I believe I took. I didn't really keep a book of it, you know, but it was enough where I think I did interest in it, and I sent them that letter every month so they know what it was, and I paid them, you know, and it hurts to say that, but I don't know why anymore, because I've cleaned that up, you know. I'm done with that, you know. That part feels good. Talking about it doesn't feel so great, but, you know, we're all good with that, so thanks.
Got one more reading. That's on page 79. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
So one of the amends that I had to make was my high school swim coach, and I had to pay her back the money from the car wash. And she had no idea. Like, I was really good. What I sold in high school is that I came from, like, a bad family, which wasn't true at all. But I'd kind of act like there was, like, abuse, or, like, I would hint at something like that was going on. And so I, like, would try to make it, like, it's not funny, but I was, like, such a con. But I would just try and, you know, deflect the microscope on me by like, just hinting at a little bit of drama, or, like, you know, like my parents beat me, or, like, something like that. And, so I had, like, coaches were one of the people that I used that con on, because it'd be like, Harmony, why are you late for practice? And it'd be like, oh, you know, my parent, like, it was a difficult amends, because I had to take responsibility for the stuff that I did and pay back the money, in that particular amends, I really lost, like she saw me for what I really was. And, like, still to this day, if I saw her, probably she would have the same look of disgust and disappointment on her face that, she's had the last couple of times that I've seen her. And, I can say that I was, like, I'd want to go back and help with swim practices and stuff like that back when, at the time, and I'm not welcome. It seems like that would be, oh, like, that's the most horrible thing that could happen with your amends. Is absolutely not. Like, that was one of my best amends. And it's one of the ones that is burned into my consciousness, that that's what'll happen if I ever drink again. If I stop doing these things, that is the kind of disappointment that people have in me, and they'll have that over and over and over again. And that is also what I bring to God, is so those times when I am not willing and I don't see how I could possibly do this, there's no way, you know, there's absolutely no way I can make that amends. The one that's hard for me right now is my kid's dad. Like, I can, like, I literally feel like I cannot act better than I feel. That is how I wake up every day feeling. And I have to turn to God and ask for the strength and the direction to do the right thing, and ask for the actual ability to carry these things out the way that they're outlined on the day book. And my experience has been that when I come to God in that, I take one step towards God in that respect, and He takes 10 towards me and does, like, literally, like does it for me sometimes. So that's all I can share.
It says here, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing no matter what, and we are willing. Again, an honesty pill. I have four really, really, really good friends that I've been friends with forever from high school. You know, the people that you've been at all their weddings, been with their kids being born, been through divorce, been through all the bad times and the good times. They were always there for me. And these four guys have been on my amends list forever. And I've been sober some years. I passed step 9, sort of, a long time ago, and they're still there. There they are. And I talk to my sponsor about it all the time. Are you willing? Are you willing? And we got to this place where I was in trouble because I wasn't doing 10, 11, and 12. I was just stopped. I could not get these four guys out of my head, you know, and like some people have heard, if you don't do 8 and 9, don't do it, you're going to drink again. And, you know, that was all busted up in my head, and my sponsor kept going, are you willing? Are you praying? And I was praying, and there's no excuse. I see him all the time. I've made appointments to do it. I hang out with him. There's times where I'm like, hey, man, can I? Never mind, you know, and I'm just not willing. But I went on. I went to 10, 11, and 12 because I was going to, I don't know if I was going to drink, but I wasn't fulfilling the rest of this program at all. You know, I wasn't helping other alcoholics. I wasn't growing spiritually. I wasn't, you know, making those 10-step amends, which I do all the time, which is crazy because I do this all the time. People don't even know. And these four guys just don't get it. They're not going to get it yet. And I'm just not willing yet. But, you know, that just shows that I don't have to be perfect, you know. And if you're new and you get jammed up on something, pray, talk to your sponsor. If it's not the right time, you're going to know. And if it is the right time, you're going to know. So don't get jammed up and hear things that, oh, you're going to drink again if you don't do this. You might not, you know. Do your thing, you know, and someday, I keep praying. I will be willing. So, thanks.
Thank you, guys. That concludes the sharing portion of the meeting. Okay. Baskets going around now. So, the green card states, the seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group central office, local services, district area, and the GSO remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? Anyone?
My name is Amy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
On the 22nd of this month, Principal's Group is celebrating its 10th anniversary, and the eating portion of the meeting is at 6:30, the speaking portion is at 7:30, and our very own David is the speaker that night. So, 22nd.
Awesome, thanks, Amy. Anyone else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety who would like to welcome you?
Tony, alcoholic.
Jeremy, alcoholic.
Jeremy,
alcoholic.
Hey, Brian, welcome.
Timmy, welcome.
Hey, Timmy, welcome.
Lindsay, I'm an
is literature available on the table over here. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase any literature. Sponsorship is, in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminder, smokers, please use butt can outside, provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website at simpleactions.net. And lastly, I'd like to thank the panel for sharing tonight. Thank you for your time. After we clean up, we're all invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is down Colonial, right before the railroad tracks. Would anyone like to volunteer to read the last two paragraphs in 164? Just jump in there.
I'm Morgan, I'm an alcoholic.
Morgan.
Not everybody at once. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks. Thanks, Maureen. All right, we'll now close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
You did great. Does that feel good?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,